Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. It's an interesting passage here. Jesus is making his way toward Jerusalem, and he's interrupted by some Pharisees who apparently have this message to him from King Herod. And it's interesting how Jesus then responds to this. At the end of the passage, Jesus is actually lamenting over Jerusalem. He's lamenting because Jerusalem is not the place that it once was, and certainly not filled with the people who are considered faithful. These are people who maybe look upon Jesus and his ministry, but don't actually see Jesus for who he really is, and they certainly don't speak, they don't say out loud who he is either. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, something you might have noticed over the last few years, if you ever happen to be shopping for a child for any reason, you know, maybe you have to buy a present for a birthday party or something like that, if you go to Walmart, you go to Target, or a place like that, and you go into the toys aisle, one of the things you might have noticed is that there seem to be a whole lot of what I would consider to be retro toys on the shelves these days. So these are like toys from the past, like things that maybe had been discontinued at one time, or maybe they just kind of fell out of popularity for a while, but now they're making a comeback. And it's been kind of interesting for me to look around and see all these things, that so many of them are things that I used to play with when I was my kid's age, you know, like in the late 80s and early 90s. It seemed like everybody had some of these toys that I'm now seeing you can buy brand new on the shelves. You know, things like Light Bright. Anybody remember the Light Bright? I loved that thing. You know, you put these colorful little pegs in those holes through the black paper, and it shines through, and it makes these awesome designs and stuff. Or, you know, maybe some of you are more a little old school with the Etch-a-Sketch. You see those for sale now. I was never really good at the Etch-a-Sketch. You have, like, Rock'em Sock'em Robots are back on sale in the stores, or Hungry Hungry Hippos have made a comeback, too. They even will sell that little telephone, the pull-string telephone. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, it looks like an old rotary phone, which, by the way, I don't even know if kids understand what in the world that is these days. But you pull that thing, it's got a red receiver on it and a face on the front, and the eyes go up and down, and when you pull it, the bell rings. That bell has been annoying parents for generations, right? They have that. They have all these amazing things, and it's just kind of interesting to me because I don't think this trend came about because today's kids are bored with all of the new toys that are coming out. I don't think that's the case at all. I think what's actually going on is it's more about the parents, right? So people in my generation, millennials, research has shown that millennials care a lot more than other generations about things like nostalgia for their childhoods. And so I think what's going on is the toy makers are trying to capitalize on that. They know that when you walk into the store and you see all these things that you used to play with as a kid, it does something. It tugs at your heartstrings. You want to purchase that toy for your child too. And so I think that's honestly what's going on. You kind of feel homesick. You want to do something about it. So one of those toys that I didn't mention yet is one that is maybe a little bit older, and I'm not sure if this ever really was discontinued at any point, but it's one that they are still making, and actually they're making brand new ones, and it's called the See-N-Say. You probably noticed I titled the sermon See-N-Say today. I actually brought with me, this is a brand new, fancy, modern See-N-Say, but maybe some of you remember these toys. The See-N-Say was actually first made back in 1965 by Mattel. And at the time that this was first made, it actually had technology in it that was way ahead of its time. I mean, so this See-N-Say has a lever that you pull down, but the original one actually had a pull string. And this arrow in the middle then points to different things, and the most popular ones over time have been the ones with farm animals. So the arrow points to different animals, and wherever the arrow happens to be pointing, that's the sound that you hear. And this CNC actually has three AA batteries in the back of it, but the original one had no batteries at all, and it still worked. I mean, the technology was absolutely amazing, right? So just to kind of refresh your memory here. I don't know if you can hear that. That was the cow says moo, right? Okay. There's a horse whinnying, right? So, I mean, I could do this all day long, but I think you get the point. I did a little bit of research. I found out this was the next big toy after Mattel had had such big success with the Chatty Cathy dolls. Some of you might remember those too. And the technology in Chatty Cathy dolls was actually very similar in the sense that you had a pull string and it made all these different sounds and phrases and words, except the difference was with the Chatty Cathy, all the sounds you heard were random. But now with the CNC, kids could actually point the arrow anywhere that they wanted it to go and you could hear the farm animal that you wanted to hear, right? So now you can hear these farm animals on your own terms. Can you get any more American than that? All right, so I'm going to just put that aside for a second, and I'll come back to that in a little bit, but I wanted to talk more here about what's going on in this gospel reading. So we have this passage from Luke chapter 13, and Jesus is making his way toward Jerusalem in this passage, and we're actually toward the end of his earthly ministry here, so he's making his way toward the cross, essentially. He's been going from town to town. He's been teaching all the people. He's been performing these amazing signs and wonders. And now, all of a sudden, the arrow is pointing at the Pharisees. Okay, that was a duck. But, okay, so the duck says, quack, quack. But the Pharisees say what? The Pharisee says, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now that's really interesting, right? What's going on here? Because are the Pharisees trying to help Jesus? Are they trying to warn Jesus? Are they being nice to Jesus for a change? This is definitely not what we would expect to hear when we pulled the lever when the arrow pointed to the Pharisees. It's not what we would expect whatsoever. What's going on? Actually, if we dig deeper into this, what we find out is that the Pharisees here are doing exactly what Pharisees always did whenever they were interacting with Jesus, which is pretty much they were being dishonest. See, Luke actually tells us later on in his gospel that Herod did not want to kill Jesus. Luke tells us Herod was actually so impressed by the things that he heard Jesus was doing that he wanted Jesus to come to him and perform some of these miracles so that he could witness this with his own two eyes. The Pharisees are the ones that actually wanted Jesus to go away, not Herod. So if Herod really had a different kind of message for Jesus, if Herod had something that he wanted to deliver to Jesus, we might not actually be sure what that message really would have been, because I'm not sure that we can trust what the Pharisees are saying in this passage. What we do know for sure is that Jesus calls Herod a fox in verse 32. I don't have a fox here on this. I got a dog. That's kind of close enough, right? Okay, so the dog barks, right? So the dog says, bark, bark. What does Herod say? What does the fox say? Anybody? Some of the younger ears just perked up. That was a famous dance song a few years ago, which basically says the same thing. We don't really know. We don't know exactly what Herod the fox would have said in this case. But either way, the Pharisees and Herod are both treating Jesus like he's a CNC. They want to see and hear Jesus on their own terms. They want to pull the lever. They want to pull the lever and they want to hear and see what Jesus has to say on their terms. The Pharisees want Jesus to do all of his teaching outside of Judea, out of Jerusalem. Go ahead and do your teaching, but do it over there. Do it in Galilee, right? Stay away from the holy city. That's what the Pharisees want. King Herod, to his credit, he actually does want to hear and see Jesus, but he wants Jesus to come to him where he's holed up like a fox in his palace. And I think actually that's probably a good explanation for why Jesus calls him a fox in this passage anyway. I don't think we have any reason to think that Herod was particularly sly or cunning, the way we would normally attribute those attributes to a fox. But I think really it has more to do with the fact that he was holed up in the palace. It's like Jesus said once, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Right? So Herod is there in this permanent structure of his palace. He's like a fox. But anyway, Jesus responds to all of this by making it very clear that he is not a toy. This is not make-believe. What Jesus is doing in his ministry is very, very real. He's curing people of diseases. He's casting out demons. When it's all said and done, he's going to be heading to Jerusalem, where he's not going to put on a show. But he's going there to die for the sins of the whole world. The fact is, there are many people in the world today who would love to be able to do the same exact thing with Jesus. You know, treat him like a CNC, pull the lever, have him say things that we want him to hear. We want to hear from him, and then just kind of like put him all away when we're done. We would all love to have Jesus on our own terms, wouldn't we? Wouldn't it just make things a whole lot easier if all we needed to do was kind of point the arrow wherever we wanted to put it? You know, whatever issue happens to really matter to us. And then just have Jesus kind of say something that agrees with our sinful nature. Wouldn't that just be so convenient, right? The rooster says, cock-a-doodle-doo. The Christ says, I am with you always. Okay, great. So does that mean that church attendance is like optional, right? Christ is with me always, so maybe that means that he's with me when I'm laying in bed and sleeping in on Sunday morning, right? Is that what Christ is trying to say? Wouldn't that be convenient? The Christ says, judge not. Oh, okay, so does that mean you're not allowed to say anything to me if I sin? Right? So who are you to tell me that what I'm doing is wrong? Even Luther taught us that we should sin boldly, right? The Christ says, love your neighbor. Oh, okay, great. So that means we should probably not do anything that kind of seems unloving on the surface. You know, we should get rid of any like church policy we have that might seem, you know, kind of mean and unloving. We should get rid of this thing that we call closed communion, right? Because that just doesn't seem very loving. Right? We should just say, hey, it doesn't matter what you believe about the sacrament. Come and enjoy it with us. I think you get the point. You know, we can do a lot of twisting of Jesus' words, couldn't we? We could all have our own little personal individual Jesus who always miraculously agrees with us. Could it get any more American than that, right? If we had the Jesus see and say. We could treat him that way. Or we could focus our attention on the things that only our faith allows us to see and say. Things that our limited human reason couldn't even possibly begin to comprehend. You know, like the fact that despite Jesus and his word constantly being mistreated, misused, misapplied, he continues to pour out his love for us, as he once did while hanging upon the cross. You know, Jesus knew full well that if he did not do what the Pharisees told him to do, if he did not go away, get away from there, if he proceeded to go into Jerusalem, he knew that he was going to give up his life and that it was going to be in a very cruel and gruesome way. But you know what? That didn't stop Jesus. Instead, Jesus here in this passage actually compares himself to another farm animal. Right here, he compares himself to a hen who gathers her chicks underneath her wings. I don't have a hen here. I have a chick, though. That could probably work. Yeah, cheep, cheep, that's the chick, right? So verse 35 says, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So faith was required to see Jesus for who he really was, as a hen gathering her chicks underneath her wings. So as it turns out, Jesus is not just trying to make a great name for himself in an earthly way. He's not just trying to disrupt the social order or be a rabble-rouser like maybe the Pharisees and King Herod thought he was, but actually, he's simply like a hen. He's providing spiritual protection for all of his children, and he does it by spreading out his wings upon the cross. But you can only see that if you have true faith. Jesus is the Savior who defies human logic and reason. Jesus is the Savior that we can't control like a CNC. Jesus is the Savior that can be looked upon by almost anyone, but who really can't be truly seen unless a person has received the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit. Faith is what allows us to truly see and say, to see the Son of God riding into Jerusalem to die on Palm Sunday, and to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And to see other people around us, to see our neighbors all around us, not just here in church, but in the community, maybe even people who have sinned against us, and to be able to say, "Peace be with you." To see the body and blood of Jesus Christ upon this altar, to receive the forgiveness of sins upon your tongue, and to be able to say, "Thanks be to God." Jesus knows what it is that you need to see and say. And he's the one that's pulling the lever for you. The chick says, "Cheep, cheep." But the Christ says, "Come under my wings and enter with me into the joys of paradise." In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.